Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. Before we start, I want to give out the studio number because this is a live show and we love to hear from our listeners. That number is 510-770-1550. That's 510-770-1550. Today's topic is quite sensitive, so we will not be asking for the names of callers. So please feel free to call us in complete confidentiality. We're talking about mental health and how challenging it is for parents to deal with these issues in their children. With me in the studio today is Dr. Raman Klar. She's a clinical psychologist from the Hume Center. She's a program manager and the clinical supervisor for the South Asian program. Welcome, Dr. Klar.
Thank you for having me.
So just before we start, give me a little background about the Hume Center. What is it and what does it do and where is it located?
Okay, so Hume Center was founded in 1993. Mm-hmm. It's a behavioral health agency. What we do is we work with families, individuals. We do group work. Targeting, I guess you can say mental health or just behavioral health problems that mm-hmm. people may experience. We work with immigrants. We work with just all sorts of things, severe mental illness, as well as just everyday challenges that people have. And we have over, I want to say, 9 different programs. And we are located both in Contra Costa County as well as here in Fremont in Alameda County. And we have about 4 different offices.
Do you get typically patients coming to you directly or are they referred from somewhere else?
It's both. So we do get self-referrals as well as referrals from other doctors or caseworkers or family members as well.
I see. And again, we're talking to Dr. Raman Klar from the Hume Center. That's H-U-M-E Center. And I also want to mention that in addition to calling, you can also go to our Facebook page, ICC Parent Talk, and put in a question or thought there, and we'll get to it during the break. So you talked about mental health and behavioral health. How do you define the two separately, differently?
So it's just kind of just, I guess you can say that's mental health is people look at it and, you know, and it's like very...
obvious?
That as well as people, like a lot of stigma, you mm-hmm. know, and so like mental health. And whereas behavioral health, it's the same concept, but mm-hmm. it's much more. It could be behavioral problems, and so it covers the whole array of that. So it's not anything different. It's just that we'll, instead of saying mental health, we'll mm-hmm. end up saying behavioral health.
And that leads me to my next question, which is when you say mental health, that immediately there's such a pushback and a stigma associated with it, especially in our community. I think we have, the South Asian community has a particular idea of what a mental disorder should look like. And perhaps we don't realize that there are many, many facets to it. And putting it in a behavioral, calling it a behavioral health issue is probably more inclusive to the issue. Would you agree that that we do have a certain preconceived notion of what a mental health disorder looks like?
Yeah, so the way that works is, you know, when we say mental health, people all of a sudden get alarmed. And it's like, oh, my God, that's, you know, and there's a lot of denial or there's mm-hmm. a lot of stigma around it. But and just, you know, to answer your question, in our South Asian program, the team, you know, the team that I work with, we spent a couple months thinking about how do we want to word this? How do we mm-hmm. want to advertise to our community and let them know that we have these services available?
Right.
And so we really thought about, you know, all these things that you're mentioning. And automatically when you say mental health, people are like, no, that's not me. So we really thought about, you know, the terminology, mm-hmm. How to connect with people. And that's key. And so it's, and you can call it mental health, but it's really about just everyday challenges. Anyone could have, you know, immigration problems, raising a child, mm-hmm. communicating with the child. And so really honing in on those things and not looking at the bigger picture and being like, oh, it's a mental health and that person has a problem, or this is the diagnosis, this is the disorder, even though that is key in mm-hmm. understanding what's going on with even a child. Mm-hmm. But there's other things that may be underlying that may be, you know, somehow making that condition worse or whatever that case may be.
Or provoking that condition.
Uh-huh.
I see. So what you're saying is let's focus on what is not working rather than, that's been the approach of the Hume Center with respect to reaching out to the community, that if something is not working, we encourage you to come to us and talk about that. So let's talk a little bit. I want this focus of this particular show to be about kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because from my limited understanding, the behavioral health issues, and let's call it that now, do present themselves a little bit differently in kids as compared to adults. Am I right?
Right. Yeah. So the symptomology for children may be presented very differently than mm-hmm. from adults, whereas adults are able to say, I don't feel, you know, I feel this way, I feel sad, or I feel like, you know,
depressed
or isolated. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do the things that I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with kids, it comes out a little differently. So depending on what they're experiencing, they may end up acting out in school.
Mm-hmm.
They may have a lot of stomach problems, you know, just much more physical and bodily.
Because
issues.
They're not able to verbalize that
right.
emotion.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so those are some things, you know, and there's depending on what diagnosis or what it is, the symptoms may come out differently. But yes, they are very different than how adults experience it.
Now, give me some of the typical reasons for which parents bring their children to the Hume Center. What are the things you've helped kids with, and what are the typical things you see?
So I'm trying to a lot of different things. So
mm-hmm.
there may be situations where parents who are going through a divorce or have separated, and they bring in their children
mm-hmm.
Because there's so much change happening in the environment. And
mm-hmm.
so we get a lot of cases like that. We get sometimes even from schools referrals for
mm-hmm.
children who are perhaps, you know, having behavioral problems, anger issues, even communication problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean it's only the child that's coming in. We may end up doing family therapy.
Right,
you
right.
know, and so we get a lot of different cases like that. We may even get where sometimes children have, say, ADHD or autism,
mm-hmm.
different things, or somewhere they're along on the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
you know, somewhere. So we try to work with them, and not only the family, but other caregivers or other providers as well,
mm-hmm.
and do collaborative work.
So do you see that typically it's the school that acts as a little bit of an impetus, you know, problems at school that act as an impetus for parents to say, oh, I my child needs help? Is that typically how that turns out?
Yeah, in most situations. But then there's also some parents, I would say, you know, from just a few, examples, is that mothers end up, you know, they notice something's going on, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're getting a lot of complaints from the teacher, and it brings awareness like, okay, something's going on. What is it that's going on? And I need to find out. And
mm-hmm.
through that, they end up, you know, coming through.
Excellent. So we're going to take a break now. I just want to give our call-in number again, 770-1550. Today we have Dr. Raman Klar of the Hume Center here with us today. She's a clinical psychologist. It's a great time to, you know, if you want to call and ask her something, that would be great. Or if you feel uncomfortable and you want to just leave a message on our ICC Parent Talk page, that would be great too. We're going to get to it during the break. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with Parent Talk, hosted by Vidya and sponsored by the India Community Center. Welcome back to Parent Talk, brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. Today, I'm talking to Dr. Raman Klar of the Hume Center. And just before the break, we talked a little bit about what are the things that prompt parents to think that there is a problem. Typically, it's issues at school. And also, we learned a little bit about the Hume Center and the services it offers. But I also want to, before I get on to the talking a little bit more about behavioral health issues in the community and what parents can do, I want to do two things. One is give out our number here again, 770-1550. That's 770-1550. I realize it's a sensitive subject, but please rest assured you can call us in complete confidentiality and talk to our expert here. You can also post on our ICC Parent Talk Facebook page if you have a thought or a question, or if there's an issue that you'd like for us to cover on the show. So, Dr. Klar, we had talked a little bit about the Hume Center before, but I understand from you that there is also a clinic offered at India at the India Community Center and happens to be a free clinic. So can you tell us a little bit more about that before we talk a little bit more about the issue itself?
Yes, so we received funding through Alameda County Behavioral Health Care Services, and it was funded through the Mental Health Services Act. So it was to help the South Asian community to mm-hmm. receive services to the underserved and the unserved. So basically it's this program, the South Asian program, is a free service.
Mm-hmm.
Any service that we provide.
So that includes therapy. What does it include?
Yeah, so it's therapy, you know, individual, it's family work, group work, anything like that. And the program is basically, it's called a preventative program to mm-hmm. Prevent mental health, and it's to do early intervention work. So we're trying to work with reaching out to the community to target earlier signs
mm-hmm.
so that we can prevent mental health,
issues,
long and prolonged, you know, and mm-hmm. much more severe and serious mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And
so let's do a quick run-through of what are the symptoms that parents bring to you, and what are the symptoms that you would like parents to be a little more aware of to say, okay, you know what, maybe this isn't a big deal, but if I get help right now, then my child is going to be benefited so much more in the long run rather than me hoping that he might outgrow it or she might outgrow the issue. So what are these symptoms that you would like parents to be cognizant of?
So, again, like I had said, it varies depending on the child, depending on, you know, how the household environment is.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, like I said, if your child is already going to school and the teacher's telling you, you know, your child is doing X, Y, and Z, like, you know, speaking out of turn or getting very angry or isolated, something that's not typical
mm-hmm.
of what your child usually does, you know, that might be a reason to maybe bring in your child and be like, okay, what's going on? I need, you know, I want to figure this out. Or if your mm-hmm. child is at home and you're noticing some changes or just in their behavior, because each child is different.
Mm-hmm.
But if you notice, like, you know, just slightest or drastic, some sort of change that's not typical of your child and you're noticing it more often than not,
mm-hmm.
you know, bring your child in, you know, talk to, you know, call our office and, you know, be like, this is going on. I just want to, you know, just know what's, you know, what's happening. And the thing about our program is
mm-hmm.
The South Asian program is that you don't have to have a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. We're trying to prevent mental health diagnosis. We're trying to help earlier case findings. So there might be a crisis, there might be some sort of change happening in the family or the household, or maybe
mm-hmm.
even like, say you moved and you changed schools and your child is not adjusting to it really
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're coming in for. We're trying to prevent a mental health issue from happening.
But I have a question here, which is you, from what we've been talking so far, and it seems my understanding of it is that what you're saying is that the behavioral health issues that you typically deal with are perhaps environment-related behavioral health issues, like the parents, divorced parents coming in with their child, or a change in the school, or you know, some maybe there's a crisis at school. There's a friend whose child is being bullied. There are many things that can happen. But is it all environmental, or are we talking about genetic issues as well?
So again, according to research, you know, there hasn't been an exact finding genetics where you know that schizophrenia or bipolar or, you know,
mm-hmm.
different disorders like that, that they haven't been pinpointed to that. But
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that everything is environmental or something that's much more severe,
mm-hmm.
such as, you know, say autism or ADHD, where that might be just how the makeup is, and that's how
the brain is wired,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in those cases, if you've noticed that from much earlier, and typically you can
mm-hmm.
notice that at an earlier time, like where you compare your child to maybe other children, or you talk to your pediatrician or whatever
mm-hmm.
the case may be, even in those cases you want to, you know, come in
yeah.
and, you know, try to get more information,
mm-hmm.
You know, just learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes when a child has, say, ADHD or autism, and there is even then environmental change,
It's harder.
It's harder. It's much more difficult. Mm-hmm. It's challenging because a child who doesn't have, say, ADHD or autism, if they're not adjusting well to it, imagine someone who, you know, is already having difficulties in other areas. May that change may not be, you know, so like much easier for them to adjust to it.
So the approach is the child is not happy, he's not adjusting, he or she is not adjusting well in the situation. Let's talk to a professional to see how best we can help our child. That is it, and not really, oh, I'm worried that if I take them to the doctor, then the doctor is going to say that they are on the spectrum, they are autistic, or they have ADHD. And that, I think, freaks out a lot of parents, when especially in our community, because they are scared of the label. And also, they're getting a lot of input from elders in the family that, oh, you were also like this as a child, but then you outgrew it, or your uncle never talked till he was 5, and look at him now, he's just fine. So I think there is a lot of resistance that they have to overcome to say, oh, my child needs some help. And so what is the attitude that you wish parents would have about this, in terms of how to look at it, how to look at the child not being happy, not being adjusted, and helping them?
Well, it is an area of concern when you mention that. And that's the thing about him, is that we're willing to work with the entire family. And and it's not just always just the child, but it's how can the family come together to help the child and make this a smooth transition. And, you know, and how do you work with grandparents? How do you work with parents? How do you let society know, or other extended family or friends, and understanding that? And so I think it starts with first the parent coming to a realization, awareness, and understanding of what's happening with their child. And then being able to, you know, educate and, you know, reach out to other parents and to help them understand what's going on. I mean, if you think about, say, a medical issue that's happening, you know, you try to educate yourself, what's the treatment, you get, you know, second opinion, third opinion, and, you know, you get a lot of support around that. The same thing. I mean, if something like a diagnosis goes untreated, it just prolongs. And, you know, it's like a physical or a medical issue, if you don't take care of it, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse.
However, my experience has been that mental health is a notoriously unreliable science. I mean, it's something that really there's a lot of trial and error involved in that. Would you agree with that?
It depends kind of what you mean by trial and error. I mean, there's a lot of different modalities of treatment in terms of only doing CBT or play therapy or whatever that is. But mostly it's what's working for the child, the parent, or how you're working, you know, in terms of what is their need. And so it varies. It depends also if you think of, and I know I keep using the medical model, but if you're going and you don't like what one doctor's doing and you change your doctor, it's kind of like that. You know, that doctor keeps prescribing me medication for, you know, this, and I don't want that. You know, so it's the same thing. You may go to a psychologist or, you know, a child psychologist or therapist and be like, oh, I don't really like how, you know, the approach they took. So that doesn't mean it's the only approach. So you can try something else, and maybe that therapist or psychologist is, you like what they're doing. They're treating not only the child, but they're working with the family and, you know, and they're involving perhaps the psychiatrist if you need to have medication, but they're looking at the whole picture. They're collaborating with the other doctors.
So it's important to get a good fit because this is so much more, there is so much more emotion involved in this than saying, oh, I have diabetes, I need a shot of insulin. There's a lot of guilt and worry and anxiety and doubt associated with mental health. So that's a good suggestion, that you shop around. I mean, you go and visit one. If it doesn't really work for you, then maybe it is time to look at somebody else who's a better fit for your family. Now, have you had a situation where the parents are not in agreement about what's wrong with the child?
Yes, many times. I've, you know, just thinking of examples of, you know, people that we've worked with, or just, you know, a lot of times, many, mm-hmm. many times, where parents, one parent might think, oh, this is just a phase, my child mm-hmm. will outgrow it. And then you have the other parent where they know that this is not just a phase, that mm-hmm. that something is going on with their child where it's not, something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times you get that conflict and you get one parent who's extremely invested and bringing their child in on a daily basis or, you know, weekly basis and trying to figure out what other treatments can I get for my child.
Mm-hmm.
And so it happens quite a bit.
How do you deal with it? And what do you advise the parent who is concerned about how to have that conversation with the other parent who probably thinks it's a waste of time or that unnecessarily the child is being put through a certain, procedure that may make the child feel a little worse about themselves. So how do you have that conversation?
What you would want to do is first, before even meeting the child, and is to meet both of the parents
mm-hmm.
and try to get a good understanding of what's going on, why are they coming in. And that's kind of when you make the assessment, like, okay, where are these parents? Where's mm-hmm. their understanding? And it's, as a professional, you can't control how others think or what their actions will be, but it's really trying to help understand that one parent who is wanting treatment for their child, that, mm-hmm. The best treatment, is when both parents are on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that doesn't happen. And so you just kind of have to give it time. And sometimes the parent does come around, but it's just one of those things where you're going to try your best and you can incorporate family therapy maybe
mm-hmm.
in it. So the way we do our treatment is that you typically come once a week. And
mm-hmm.
if you're only working with the child, you can incorporate family therapy where once out of the month, the whole family is going to come together and slowly,
right.
Right. Get the other parent to come in, but that may not work. That may, so it just varies. It depends on the situation, and it depends how strongly the other parent is
against
it. So
mm-hmm.
There's not like one method for it. So it's, the professional is going to just have to make a clinical judgment on how to work in that situation.
Yes, but as you said, it is more helpful if both parents are with the program, so to speak. And I like the initial approach that you said, that how to talk to parents about behavioral health is probably a very key component of making sure that they are more receptive to the treatment or they're receptive to the idea that maybe the child does need some help. So we are listening to Parent Talk. Our call-in number is 510-770-1550. We're talking to Dr. Raman Klar of the Hume Center. If you have a question, please do let us know. You can even call us during the break and we'll take your call and ask that question of the expert after the break. You can also go to our Facebook page, ICC Parent Talk, and put in your thoughts there. We'll talk a little bit more about the impact on the parents after we come back. And we did talk a little bit before, but we'll talk some more about that when we come back. You're listening to Parent Talk, sponsored by the India Community Center. Welcome back to Parent Talk. I'm your host, Vidya. Today I'm talking to Dr. Raman Klar from the Hume Center. She's a clinical psychologist, and we've been talking a little bit about behavioral health issues and why it's so important to catch them early and what work the Hume Center does. Later on in the show, we will talk a little bit more about Hume Center services. But before the break, we had begun talking about what happens if the parents don't agree on the child's condition and whether the child needs help. And Dr. Klar talked about how they offer family therapy so that everybody gets on the same page and they try to work with the parent who does have concerns about the child. But as a caregiver or a parent to a child with mental or behavioral health issues, it can be pretty challenging, pretty stressful. And I really want to devote this little segment to the caregivers. And one of the things that I feel that caregivers or parents of children with behavioral health issues face a great deal of guilt in a way that they may not feel about their child's physical disability. Is that right, Dr. Klar, that they feel that maybe they caused it or what their culpability was in the child's behavior? Because even the approach that you were talking about, which is to see, okay, what's going on at home or at school, if that's impacting the child, then certainly that there's a great deal of feeling among the parents that maybe I caused it or maybe I didn't do something that led to this. So how do you deal with that and what would you say to parents?
So many times there are situations where the parent may feel that they caused it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's key in understanding the underlying situation of what's going on. And so mm-hmm. before just, you know, going with that, oh, so I must have done something wrong, or blaming the mom or the dad, or, you know, whatever the situation may be, it's really important to understand what's happening. Has anything changed? When did this start? And it's really important to get a good breath of, in different cases, what may happen, and whatever the diagnosis is, how does this happen? How can we treat it? And, mm-hmm. you know, and really educating yourself. And that can happen if, you know, through also through family therapy, or just doing collateral work, like, you know, working with the psychologist or whoever you're taking your child to. And it's really mm-hmm. trying to get a good understanding of what's happened. And so before you start blaming yourself and feeling guilty about it, it's really about awareness and understanding of how did this happen, and mm-hmm. what can I do, and, you know, where did it stem from? And so that way you're not taking blame for it, and, you know, and exacerbating the problem by mm-hmm. thinking that you caused it when you probably didn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it was something like, you know, whatever the case may be. Or maybe in some cases, if something is going on, could it be changed so that
right.
it's not making the problem much more worse?
Mm-hmm. And I think the parent, by reaching out for help, is taking the first step to, they've created some environment where the child is not thriving, at least they're doing something to correct it. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is that, do you find that parents, as you said, family therapy, that a parent dealing with a child with a behavioral health issue also needs some kind of therapy, just because they may be suffering from, like, depression and anxiety of their own because of their inability to solve the problem, or their inability to be the parents that they ideally imagine themselves to be? So does that happen a lot?
Yeah, it does. And that's why, you know, and I keep going back to, you know, it's not only about the child, it's about the family as a whole. And so mm-hmm. it's so important to think, you know, not to think that, oh, the child is the problem,
mm-hmm.
where it may be the whole system. You know, something might be happening. And so it's so important for the family to come together and understand. And so that may mean couples therapy, you know, just working with the mom and dad, or may it mean family therapy, or it could be individual, you know, it mm-hmm. just depends. And, or there, we even offer groups. And so that may be, like, say if your child has ADHD,
mm-hmm.
there might be a group that's going on where other parents who have a child who's also experiencing the same thing. So you can talk with, you know, other parents of what's happening
mm-hmm.
with, you know, for them. And it's everyone on the same page, and you can learn from others' experiences.
But do you feel that there's a resistance among the South Asian community to acknowledge to other people that there is a problem? Because my next question was going to be, how, if your child has a behavioral health issue, what is the best way to talk about it with your friends and family? Because I think for a lot of parents, it's really hard. It's a lot easier to say, oh, my child has some disease, or my child has a heart murmur, or my child has a hernia or something, than to say, oh, my child has ADHD, or my child has some behavioral health issues. So it's a lot harder, and I say that from personal experience. So how do you advise parents to have that conversation with their friends and family?
That's a really great question, because there is a lot of stigma, and even this group thing that I'm talking about, sometimes, families, South Asian families, don't feel comfortable
sharing
mm-hmm. with other people, where they feel that if I say something, or if I tell someone something, they're going to go out in the community and be like, oh, their child has such and such.
Exactly.
And so, and that's, you know, and that's just something that's, I would hope, you know, that, that parents, and, you know, just in the South Asian community, that we can try to see how we can help each other, and really about understanding and awareness. I think that's key. And I think I've started seeing more and more awareness around it. And, you know, when there's a need and, you know, there's some sort of challenge, I've seen a lot of parents come through. But it starts with personal awareness, personal mm-hmm. understanding. And once, you know, you're able to understand what's going on, it's much easier then to explain and tell them, hey, this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what's happening. And it you know, you might not get the response that you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
but if you understand what's going on in your, you know, confidence in that, like, this isn't mental health, but this is ADHD. This is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean my child is, you know, X, Y, and Z, mm-hmm. but really explaining it to them
mm-hmm.
and not using this psychological jargon or terminology, but just explaining kind of what's going on
mm-hmm.
and the challenges and, you know, what you guys are doing to work through it. It, you know, it can be very educating and you can actually bring awareness to other people. And it
mm-hmm.
starts with, I think, first the parents understanding what's going on. If the parents feel embarrassed or in denial,
mm-hmm.
then it's kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm. But we do have that. I mean, it's certainly a lot harder for parents to talk to their family and say, oh, my child is having a behavioral health issue, because it feels, again, that you take the burden on yourself. I did something wrong and therefore I'm doing that. So is there like a template that you offer to parents to say, okay, this is how you need to tell them, or this is how you can have the conversation and you can begin by saying this? Is there something that parents can use?
So there's not like, you know, a set template, because every person's different, every situation's different, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, all friends and family, they're different on how they're going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, I mean, if you work with your child's psychologist, you know, or therapist or whoever is working with your child on having them understand that, you know, of how do I communicate to my family or friends about it,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure they'll work with you on that. And so, because each situation's different, so it's difficult to say this is the best way to do it, because
mm-hmm.
I don't think there is any best way. It just depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that parents of children with behavioral or mental health issues have to deal with is that the uncertainty as to whether the child will get better and what time frame the child will get better in. So how do you deal with that? Because, as you said, early intervention is really helpful, because the chances of success or chances of helping the child adjust to society are much higher the earlier you catch it. But you don't know what's involved in the future. And is there something you do to sort of prepare the parents for the uncertainty of what behavioral health is all about?
Yeah, so there's situations where, you know, just depending on, again, because each diagnosis is different, and when it is diagnosed, and to walk the parent through, you know, this is what's going on with your child, because we found it early, this is the prognosis, or
mm-hmm.
this is how likely it is, you know, that your child will adjust or will not adjust,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then again, each child is so different,
mm-hmm.
and there's no one, like, exact way that each child with that one diagnosis, say ADHD, each child is going to be different
mm-hmm.
in it, because their environment is different, their experiences are different, the treatment may be different, you
mm-hmm.
know, and when they started getting treatment is different. So again, you work with your psychologist, you
mm-hmm.
know, your child psychologist or your therapist, and I keep going back and forth, because there's maybe marriage and family therapists or
mm-hmm.
you know, other types of professionals who you may go to
mm-hmm.
do that. And so again, it just varies, but the earlier the finding, the better the prognosis,
mm-hmm.
According to research, and you know, the different types of collaboration you're getting, meds versus just therapy or both.
Mm-hmm.
And so research shows that if your child has some sort of diagnosis that requires medication, that therapy works really well, coinciding.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of diagnosis where your child probably won't need, you know, medication, but then you want to work with, you know, your child's pediatrician or psychiatrist, as well as a psychologist.
So does the Hume Center offer the psychiatrist who can prescribe medication, that component as well? Or this is more, the Hume Center is more geared towards the psychological therapeutic aspect of behavioral health?
So like I had mentioned, we have over 9 different programs at the Hume Center.
Mm-hmm.
So one component is that we do have a psychiatrist or a couple psychiatrists at the Hume Center, and and it just depends on the program, but
mm-hmm.
and through the South Asian program, if you know, the services are free, like
mm-hmm.
I had mentioned. So through that program, we do not offer, you know, medication or a referral to our psychiatrist, but that doesn't mean that we can't refer you out or try to, there's other agencies that we do work with. So we do have that at our agency, but then we also work with other doctors as well.
So let's talk a little bit about the South Asian program that you have. What separates it? What makes it a South Asian program with respect to a non-South Asian program? What's special about it?
So with the South Asian program is that we offer services primarily to the South Asian community. Like mm-hmm. I had mentioned, it's funded through Alameda County Behavioral Healthcare Services through the MHSA funding, which was Prop 63. So it was targeted primarily for South Asians. So mm-hmm. when I say South Asians, it's people from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, Burma, Afghanistan, as well mm-hmm. as well as parts of Iran. And we offer services in Hindi, Punjabi, Urdu, Tamil. Mm-hmm. And then each year, because we're a training site, we end up getting new clinicians. So the languages change. So we end up, mm-hmm. So 1 year we may not have Gujarati, then the next year we may have it. But we do have Hindi, Urdu, and Punjabi, as well as Tamil. And these are people who are, they're South Asians themselves. They understand mm-hmm. the culture. And so they're able to work with families and and they understand where they're coming from, the background. Mm-hmm. So they understand all of that, the family pressures and different things like that. So it's so we've had great success in working with that.
Tell me a little bit about the clinic that you have at the India Community Center.
So our South Asian program or just any of our services through Home Center, we do offer services, say, at school, at homes, at the in parks, wherever, whatever's convenient for the family, we'll do that. And mm-hmm. so one of the things through our South Asian program we were able to do is we were able to partner with India Community Center. Mm-hmm. And so there's a free clinic on Tuesdays mm-hmm. all day through the behavioral health where we offer services. So you would just call in, and I have our number.
Let's share that number with our listeners.
Okay, that's 510-745-9151. Mm-hmm. And
that's 510-745-9151. But this is the number of the Fremont Clinic.
Yeah.
And that's the place to call to find out more information about the Tuesday clinic at ICC. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the ICC clinic that doesn't mean that if, you don't go there or whatever, we do offer services at our Fremont clinic too.
As well. Mm-hmm.
So it's just another convenience that sometimes people can't come to Fremont, but we do have our clinic there. Or if you're interested, but you can't go to ICC, so you can come to our clinic as well.
So how do you, in a public place like ICC, how do you maintain the confidentiality? Because I'm sure parents would be, a little hesitant about walking up, in a public place like that, knowing that they before they know anything about their child, there may be a lot of speculation going around about them from the people around them.
Right. So anything that we discuss is confidential. The way it's handled, from the first time you make a phone call and making a referral and, giving all your information. So we don't discuss anything with anyone. I mean, we're in some cases mandated to report, but that's separate. But anything, that we're not going to go out and share with, say, if you're coming to ICC clinic, we're not going to share with anyone there. We actually have a system where there's a door to the clinic, to the mm-hmm. It's inside the medical clinic.
Oh, I see.
And so it's mm-hmm. on Tuesdays when it's there is no medical clinic on that day, so it's only designated for our services through
Hume
Center.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there's the outside door. You can come in through there, check in, and the clinician, will open the door and she'll bring you in. And, so it's very
as private as possible.
Private as possible. And the same thing with our Fremont Clinic. It's, just going in, we have a waiting room and, mm-hmm. We're not going to share your information with anyone. Mm-hmm.
And can a parent use the Hume Center as sort of the first step and then just to get informed and get educated? Do you do evaluations?
We do. So, like I had mentioned, we offer a lot of different services. So evaluations like a neurological assessment is one of the programs. And so that's more through if you have insurance or Medi-Cal or, you know, some sort of funding. But yeah, we do a lot of different services.
Right. And you said, so what is included in the free system? Just the initial meeting with the therapist and maybe therapy?
Yeah. So it's the therapy, family therapy, working individual or couples, even groups and workshops. We even go out and do presentations or, you know, and to try to engage parents and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I was going to add is that because it's a preventative program, so we'll work with you early on. And so if we're not the best fit for you,
mm-hmm.
we'll connect you with other resources that mm-hmm. are a good fit for you. And so that doesn't mean that if you come in that, you know, that you have to stay with us, that we'll try to connect you with other resources out in the community so that way you have a good fit for your child and yourself.
So we've been talking to Dr. Raman Klar of the Hume Center. Let me give you that number again. It's 510-745-9151. Hume Center is spelled H-U-M-E. Is there a website?
Yeah, it's Hume Center, HUMECENTER.org.
HumeCenter.org. So that's a great place for you to go and check out what are the resources available to you. Or if you're a regular with the India Community Center, there is a free behavioral clinic on Tuesdays. So that's something also that you can avail of. Once again, the number to call them is 510-745-9151. So thank you so much, Dr. Klar, for being with us today and sharing your thoughts on behavioral health. I think we definitely reached a consensus that early intervention is important. And I think this we've said in other shows as well. Early intervention is important. It's something that we have to realize is as common as maybe the child having a physical issue. So we shouldn't hesitate to go and just check it out. And also the one thing that I absolutely want to tell parents is that don't be afraid that there is going to be a label done on the child. It's more, the attitude is more that the child is not adjusting well and we are here to help the child. So thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Thank you for having me.
And that's the end of our show today. To listen to recordings of this show and past shows, check out indiacc.org/parenttalk. You have to click down to the past shows archives to listen to the shows. You can also find out what our upcoming shows are there. And if you want to participate in any of the shows, please write to me at radio@indiacc.org. Today's show was produced by Saad Jafri and the theme tune was composed by Naren Pradhan. Tune in same time, same place next week for another show on parenting. Till then, bye-bye.